Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, this is She, and I want to thank you for joining us this evening. Tonight we are going to connect, or in your next, with self-love as it relates to community and how connecting to our inner self can actually enrich how we show up for not only ourselves but the world around us. So tonight, the reason I was inspired to share this is from an interview that I did recently with a gentleman, which will be coming out in the next couple of weeks, named Warren Brush, and he has set up communities and permaculture and worked with people all over the world. And a point that was brought up to my attention I thought would be great clarification is, as we've done this inner work, working our inner self, that the beauty of that is not to keep us away from everyone, is to so we can show up more whole and authentic and transparent with others. And so rather than cultivating codependency, which most of our society is operating on, some level of codependency, we're understanding that our place and role together is interdependence. So we do have ways that we can support each other because, for instance, if you had several acres of land and you were farming your food for you and your neighbors, it might not be possible for you to do everything yourself. And so the beauty of having a community is everyone can play their role. And the one thing that's even more beautiful is that everyone doesn't have to show up the same way, and everyone can really dive into their frequency and how they're supposed to operate in the world. So you might be a healer, you might be a musician, you might be a bread maker, you might be a cheese maker, you might be the farmer, you might be the person that goes and gathers the water, you might weave textiles, you might build a home, whatever it might be, that's where you can show up and be in your alignment. The same if you work in a corporation or in a small business or within public service, you can show up whole. And so each day when you show up, you're not having to have an inner dialogue with your stuff. You're able to show up as a clear channel. So what happens, the more and more we become in alignment with ourselves and whole, meaning that we don't need anyone outside of us to make us happy, to feel self-worth and love, that we're good to go. So when we show up, we show up. We're ready to serve in our community, in our families, in our workplace. And there isn't anything to really complain about. So imagine in your mind's eye the last time that you were able or given the opportunity to be of service or wanted to donate at some time. Were you able just to show up and do whatever job was asked of you? Or did you have a stipulation? Did you have an ailment, or did you have an attitude, or did you only prefer a certain task so you weren't willing to do anything else? Connect back to that. Connect back to the last time you served, and were you willing to be selfless? So the more we know about ourselves, the more that we align with ourselves, we're ready to serve really in a selfless place. And it doesn't mean that it's not important to serve prior to then, but it's a really rich and beautiful place to serve from. So as we get to know how we want to show up, then we'll understand how we want to engage. So if you think back to maybe you really didn't have high self-worth issues, so you're always busy doing a million and one things because you're looking for acknowledgement, you're looking for people to be grateful for you, and you deplete yourself because you're trying to be everything to everyone. And then when you feel whole, you're like, you realize, wow, I can decide where I want to show up, when I want to show up, and I really want to do a great job when I do. I don't want to show up worn out. I don't want to show up and only meet them halfway. I really want to be present with them. So this is the beautiful part. And when we talk about interdependence, that what that is that there's no longer really a separation, meaning that it's not them against you or me and you separately. We realize that there's an interdependence, we're similar to a tapestry of woven fabric with fibers, and each one of us plays a very significant role on holding that tapestry together. When we start to see community this way, it's easier for us to map out what our needs are, what our wants are, and how we can sustain and regenerate as a community together to be efficient, abundant, happy, healthy, and to have a lot of fun. And as mentioned earlier, what will happen is as we're authentically showing up in these places, we'll be able to have authentic relationships with those that show up. We'll be able to authentically love others without attachment and commune with others on a deeper level of intimacy. And so what happens is then we start to see that there's this beautiful self-organizing structure. Right now in our current society, we tend to be very box-oriented, org chart-oriented in creating an infrastructure. And truly, in the universe, it's pure chaos, but there's a self-organizing system that naturally pulls the energy fields together and apart and together and apart. The same thing happens in nature. There's all these dynamic things happening, creation, destruction, but there's a self-organizing system that's happening. We see the result. We see the flowers. We see the trees. We see the vegetables. We see the animals, but there's all these other things that are happening on a micro level that are self-organizing, just like the ants that are moving through the jungle that are being led to a certain destination where they're actually carrying very important matter to one place to another so different funguses can grow, bacteria can grow. It's profound at the organization. Now, the ant kingdom doesn't sit down and say, okay, we've got to map this out. We've got to figure this out. Really, that's nature's beauty of self-organization. So imagine as you dive in deeper to your heart, you're going to start to harmonize with your true nature, and you're going to realize, like, wow, I don't belong in corporate America. I actually don't fit in, and I would be a detriment to that system. And I need to be in this situation to harmonize with my true nature. And guess what? When you're harmonizing with your true nature, the system is happier and others can harmonize with their true nature, and then we self-organize. So this is a way to think about it. And so what I would like you to do right now is we're just going to go into a little bit of a trance with some music by Alex Theory. I want you to connect in your mind's eye with what you visualize community to mean to you, how you would like to draw the picture. Imagine the picture of your community organizing itself. See what shows up. See the faces that show up. And see what it feels like. So just close your eyes, take a deep breath, breathing in and out, filling that entire being with oxygen, and connecting with the elements of community that exist in your being. Taking a deep breath in from there. And just taking the energy up through the mind's eye and the imagination center, connecting deeper to what community means to you and where you would like it to grow. As you dive in deeper and connect your inner voice and rhythm of what community feels like to you, reflect back to a time in your life where it felt like home, that there was a balance, whether it's one that you've imagined or was one so far in this lifetime or if it exists now. Connect with how it feels and where you would like to go next with cultivating your expression out in the world and with others. As you connect to this vision, imagine in the mind's eye creating and planting the seeds and attracting the people that will harmonize with your community and what exists in that community. Hold the vision of the elements from the earth up. What do you need in that community and who's going to be a part of it? And what role do you want to play? Holding that vision in your mind's eye, what does your heart sing? What do you crave to do in this body, in this lifetime? Forget all limitations, allow it to drop to the earth, and just imagine in that mind's eye that vision of that community and what it feels like to be there in that space and time. Connect with the elements that are the strongest for you visually, through sound, through smell, through touch. See what appears. And as you hold that vision and it becomes richer and richer and you can feel the energies there supporting and being there together and creating together, then again bringing it back to yourself and connect to your needs within that community. What are you looking for aside from how you want to show up and serve? What are your needs? Imagine in your mind's eye having all those needs met: food, water, and shelter, joy, laughter, music, art, whatever it may be. Imagine you having that space to do that. Whether it's always with people or in solitude, keep imagining deeper and deeper into your entire being what feels like home. And as you continue to feel and dive into that, notice around you the colors that appear, textures, the landscape. As you inhale, really connect with those elements and allow them to rise up into your entire being. Now gently bringing yourself back, gently bringing yourself back to your physical body and just allowing that brief visualization to sit with you and what it feels like to welcome in that place that feels like home in your tribe that would help be that fabric with you to weave that tapestry. And just be with that and feel that textile wrap around your entire being and hold you in this moment. And just allow that resonance just to seep into your entire being. So now that you've had an opportunity to visualize and connect to what community means to you, we can dive a little bit deeper into what the purpose of community is. And the purpose of it is it's a system to regenerate the needs of the tribe, the needs of the community. So if we look right now at our current state of affairs in most places on planet Earth, we are relying on importing and exporting for our needs. We're relying on apples from New Zealand when we live in North America. People in Canada are relying on food from North America. And that aspect of our being right now, we're not in a regenerative system. So if we can think about that, that typically when we were in smaller communities, we would actually move and migrate to the food source, the water source, shelter source. And these communities began to thrive. And guess what? They would make sure that everyone was provided for, that everyone was in mental health. They were in wellness, inner wellness, and exterior wellness. Oftentimes in communities, if anyone had a nightmare, there was someone there to, one, find out why, and everything was stopped until that person's soul was settled. Right now, we are in a time where we placate our dis-ease with food, drugs, alcohol, sex, consumption. So we know that our community is operating in a very, very different way. And we're also conditioned to think of self before others. We think that we need to hoard in order to survive. And we don't realize, like we see in the jungle or we see in any microcosm, that nature has the ability to self-organize. That if we harmonize with how we're to be here, we will self-organize and get what's needed to be done to feed ourselves, to quench our thirst, to build structures to provide a shelter, to weave clothing and containers to hold our goods. And then guess what? Rest of the time can be spent playing, creating, laughing, and being. That's where that wellness comes in. So a system for regeneration is designed as we were given the opportunity to be the caretakers of this planet. Imagine this. We don't have 5-year plans. We don't have 10-year plans. We don't have a retirement plan. We have a 7-generation plan. How exciting is this? This shifts our entire thinking. If we're, whoa, I need to plan out to regenerate for 7 generations. Guess what? That changes the whole mentality of a community, of a planet. Together, we're thinking we need to regenerate for 7 generations. Now, depending, that could be 200 plus years of regeneration. And guess what? Each one of those generations is going to do the same thing. So you're out 1,400 years ahead, planning and sustaining and regenerating and watching climate changes and pattern changes. And we then are not stuck in a reactive mode. We're proactive because we have to think way out ahead. And then the universe can help us because we realize that we're spiraling through the universe, and it makes it easier when we organize with the universe versus moving in a linear fashion, that it's easier to self-organize when we mirror what's above and around us as it is within our world system. So within these 7 generations that we're preparing for, then we start to cultivate traditions, lineages, practice, mastery, culture. When we do this, we start to realize that, wow, I want to master playing this instrument. And that helps our community have joy when we come together for meals and around a campfire or meet at the town square or we see a performance together. These traditions then become passed down. There's no disconnect. One generation to the next, the tradition, the style of painting is passed down. The style of pottery making is passed down. The sacred ceremonies are passed from shaman to shaman. this becomes a much more holistic system and nothing is lost. Things can be retained for millions of years. So within this, what are the benefits of preparing for seven generations, preparing for community, regeneration? Well, it takes a big load off of everyone. Imagine if you knew as soon as you entered your mother's womb that the people that you were coming into, the tribe, was prepared for the next seven generations, and the seven generations behind you were prepared, you would feel pretty good about that. But if you knew as soon as you entered, you were going to be really feeling this push energy to get a good education, to learn to read faster, to learn to be smarter, to move quicker, to be better at this and better at that, and not given any time to really sink into your harmonic, that is a much different mindset to enter into. And to be perfectly honest, it feels much better to think, oh wow, I dropped into a system where it's regenerating, everyone's harmonious, everyone's provided for, there's no conflict, we're just moving with ease, and that we're all in this together. So just imagine and tune into what that feels like. Now, what are the benefits? As I mentioned, everyone is provided for. So if I have shoes, then you have shoes. If I have a shirt, you have a shirt. If I have food, you have food. And someone might be saying, well, this isn't possible. Well, I actually am so excited to share that this is possible. We have actual villages on this planet right now that are doing this without any money. And then we also have examples down in Incan times that they did this. They were in service, they provided for everyone, and they were harmonious. So there weren't any, as my friend will say, there were no books, there were no little seminars. Everyone had the same wisdom, whether your job was to plant the seeds, to pick up the trash, or to be the healer. Everyone had the same level of awareness, consciousness, as some communities would call it. No one had any different level of awareness than another. Everyone had the same harmonious vibration. And this is what happens when we allow ourselves to self-organize. Can you imagine if you were looking at geese flying in the air, if they one decided, hey, I got to be different, I'm not going to fly in formation, and they go out and start doing tricks, it would look very different than it would if we witness them as we do when they fly in formation, which is pretty miraculous how they get into alignment. They don't, again, have an org chart. They don't have a bunch of think tank meetings. They tune into nature and they're there. They're locked in by their harmonics, by their frequency, because that's what they're there. They're geese. They're flying. And they know if we get into this formation, it's going to be easier as a group to fly through the air than as just one. So within that, everyone's provided for, that brings self, soil, and society into harmony, and there is more love and joy. There are not as many conflicts, if any at all. So as I mentioned, there are some successful examples of this. There are varying scales. There are communities that are budding up in Bellingham, Washington, on the North American continent, where they're self-organizing. People are becoming master cheesemakers. People are becoming master herbologists, flower gatherers, potato farmers, all different things that they need. And rather than just having a currency, they've developed an alternative currency system for trading and bartering and finding new ways to sustain their community, especially over the last so many years when our perception of money has dissipated in a certain manner. Additionally, there are communities in South America, Central America, over in Asia that have no money, except they will take in a little donations for books, and some of them are hunters, so for gunpowder or any weapons that will assist them in their hunting if they don't use bow and arrow. These communities are off the grid. They rely on nothing except what they create, and they live in harmony. So we know that this is possible from our recorded history that we can see. And then we also have working models that exist on planet Earth right now. So why aren't we doing this? Well, it's all our own choice. We have to decide how we want to show up and how do we feel about that? Are we ready to jump into being self-sustaining communities? And there are also examples of communities that are budding up in urban city centers that are finding ways to connect with each other, to exchange with each other in a different manner than they have in the past. So right now, what we're going to do is, now that I've shared these concepts, a few concepts and ideas, I want you to check in. We're going to listen to another song. And I want you to check in with yourself. Where do you feel that you might have some resistance to being in community? Where do you find yourself that you would typically feel your buttons get pushed? Because this is where communities have the disconnect. Where we need to do some inner work or healing is where we want to start so that we can approach community with a different attitude. So as you think of this, we are going to connect with Shyla Rae Sunshine, Existence. And I want you to, again, bring in that vision of your community. Think about where you might have some trigger points and how you want to exist within your community. And feel the empowerment that comes when you can show up whole and full. And what principles are you wanting to bring to your tribe? Taking a deep breath in. I am the one I've been waiting for. So, how are you wanting to exist in the world? How are you wanting to show up? And if for a moment you can stop and reconnect as to our conversation in the beginning, what is your heart's calling? What do you love to do? And that time just vanishes when you do it. This is a great indicator. So if you love cooking and just space and time disappear and you could do it for hours on end, connect to that aspect of self and see what arises and how beautiful it will be for you to further master that gift or deliver that gift. So as we connect with how we want to show up, and we've connected with maybe where we have some obstacles within self, we can then connect and say, all right, I have a few obstacles within myself, and what do I want to do from there? So you have a choice to really be present that where your triggers are and know, okay, I want to find harmony here and make sure that I don't repeat these habits, meaning typically we see these triggers within ourselves when we're in interpersonal relationships. And those triggers are usually triggered by codependency. And we're really looking to, in community, harmonize with interdependence, realizing how a team can come together and get the job done. So a beautiful example of this is a mother. She can do many things when your mama, it's like we are Wonder Women in that sense, can cook, clean, work, do all these things at once. But wow, you know what? When I personally open up my kitchen and ask my sisters to come in and help me and give everyone a task, and rather than me spending the whole day cooking a meal, I could spend a couple hours or an hour with my sisters and cooking and preparing. And guess what? The richness to the food is so much, has so much more depth. The fun that's had, and it's so much more easy than doing it all yourself. So this is where we come into self-organization, because guess what? When I have a bunch of women come in the kitchen together, all of a sudden the one that loves to wash dishes, she's washing dishes. The one that feels real confident about making soup, she's making the soup. The one that prefers setting the table, she's setting the table. This is a micro example, but this is what happens. If I put a group of people outside to help out with the garden, all of a sudden everyone's jumping in with what they feel comfortable with. So if you're listening in and you have a company, or you are in charge of a organized sports team, play with it a little bit. See where you can watch and help orchestrate the self-organizing structure of the universe. Allow people to dive in and jump in where they feel most comfortable. You will see, even within a company, that the efficiency goes up. The attitude of the company increases. In community, you will see this. There will be less conflict. The resolutions will become sooner. And everyone's self-worth increases because they feel they are contributing something valuable to the whole. So what are the practices for us to cultivate community in our life? One, as mentioned, identify the harmony within yourself, where you feel really confident, you feel a lot of worth, and then identify the disharmony or identify where you don't like to really stand and where you feel you would like to attract some deeper level of peace in the existing community that you have. From there, practice number two is map it out. What does it look like? And where do you want to gather all your needs? What does your soul crave? So if I had to ask you in this moment, what is the one or two elements or the actual physical place that makes you feel like home on planet Earth? Just like we want to connect with where we feel amazing about certain things, we also want to connect with what makes us feel amazing? What part of the planet makes us feel amazing? So connect with that. Take a deep breath in and out. Again, deep breath in and out. Another deep breath in and out. And as you continue to breathe in and out, imagine that place on planet Earth that really makes you feel like home. This is a very important element to add to your community. You will naturally want to attract people that feel the same way, and hopefully you're in that landscape. And if you're not, start imagining yourself migrating to that landscape. There's something very important to where you feel amazing. So if you feel amazing in the desert, this is something to be noted. If you feel amazing in the jungle, this is something to be noted. And you're going to actually have more to offer when you're in the ecosystem that feels like home. It's similar. I was born on an island. I feel very comfortable in the island setting, feeling the moisture in the air, feeling the ocean, feeling water close by. Not so comfortable in the desert. So this is where we have to find that balance so we can be as close to home or in home as possible. So the next thing to check in with yourself, and this is really important in self-love and feeling whole, is do you know how to provide food, water, and shelter? So for most of us, we place the stress and the dis-ease if we don't have enough money or Maya, the construct of money, because this is what helps us obtain food, water, and shelter as our society is built right now. But do you know how to find food, water, and shelter today? So I want you to ask yourself that question. We're going to listen to a mantra called Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, which means life to all, love to all, and peace to all. As you're listening to that, imagine where you're going to get your food, water, and shelter, and how empowered you are going to be when you figure that out in your mind's eye. And just make it fun. We don't need to get too serious. Meaning that if we can just allow our imagination go wild like a little kid, imagining getting your food, water, and shelter, and that there's love, peace, and wellness for all.
Thank you.
So, are you ready to start cultivating or continuing to grow community around you? So, as I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, the reason for talking about this topic of community is as we do our inner healing as a collective society, because our planet, let's face it, has a healing to do for the amount of war that has taken place on this planet. We have a lot of nurturing to do on our planet, but bit by bit we can start to cultivate healthy and balanced communities. And the best way to do this is, one, allow them to self-organize. Two, start out small. So the beautiful part about this, if you have a small tribe within your home, within your immediate community, you can start to play with this and say, let's see if we can model community, similar to how you might have played as a child when you played make-believe, or if you ever had the opportunity to create a small village of aspects of a community and remember back to how you set it up and how it was organized and how beautiful it is to look at it from a kid's perspective, or the times you played with blocks. And if you have some blocks, maybe get them out and start thinking about how you would like that to look. And then to model community, there's this beautiful man. His name is Satish Kumar. I've mentioned him before. You can look up his work, but he sets up the opportunity to learn to live and work in community while you stay within their program. And the beautiful aspect about this is something we can model within our own home and our own network of tribe and community wherever we are on the planet. So what it looks like is, if you have property or land to take care of, whether it's a small piece of garden or a big farm, everyone pitches in. Everyone pitches in with all the work that needs to be done to sustain the facility and the surrounding areas, meaning if there's more than one home involved, you help out each other. Hey, do you need some help installing a water heater? Do you need some help fixing that? That's the level of community. Rather than calling for the plumber, maybe you know who the plumber is and they're your friend and you serve them some pie, you start to connect this way. Rather than having to always rely on our old system, which is monetary-based, which is debt-based, which is scarcity-based, and does not think about the seven generations. So the baby steps we take is start modeling it in your home, see if we can get everyone involved to contribute to keep the household running smoothly. And once you have that feeling cohesive, where no one feels drained and everyone's flowing, then start to think, well, gosh, how could we cultivate more within our tribe to help serve the community around us? Maybe we could start growing more food for our neighbors. Maybe we could go and take our neighbor's trash out and bring it in. Or, wow, we have a neighbor that's becoming an elder, and how are we respecting them, and are we assisting in the neighborhood? And as soon as you get more and more neighbors involved and there's a synergy there, self-organization, you start to know your neighbor's names, then you extend further out and further, and that radiating energy keeps growing. And this is how we model it, and this is how people witness it. People come into your home and see that it's this self-organized structure, that everyone does their part. It's like clockwork. Someone gets up and starts cooking, another person helps, and then someone sets a table, and someone clears the table, someone washes the dishes, someone's doing the laundry, someone's doing the grocery shopping, someone's farming in the back, and it's smooth. No one has to ask. No one has to feel like they're doing too much. Everyone's pitching in. And then we can take this to work. We can say, all right, how are we going to do this? How are we going to make sure that everything gets done? A beautiful aspect of this was, I remember when I was a lifeguard, we had to do all things. We had to clean the toilets. We had to teach kids how to swim. We had to swab the deck. There was no one was exempt from all these tasks. So that created a powerful moment for us to all determine what we were really good at, especially in cleanup and breakdown. And we jumped in, and there was no problem. No one felt jilted. We all got to do what we were good at, and we got it done. And, of course, there were some not-so-glamorous jobs, but we got through it, and we took turns not doing the not-so-glamorous job because we knew that. So think about this, and this is something that you can start to bring in. And then what happens when we do this, we move away from codependency, we work into interdependence, and we work into greater harmony. What we reflect back to Mother Nature is we are regenerating, and guess what? The seven generations slowly but surely are starting to evolve and be taken care of. So your homework for this next now, this next moment in space, is to do an evaluation. How are you participating in community? What does your community look like? Are you ready to engage in community? And where do you feel the harmony and where do you feel the disharmony? Once you have a good evaluation on that, realize, okay, be mindful with your energy and decide where you want to show up and start there. And the best place to start is right inside your own home. Master it there and then allow it to go out. Master it in home, at your work setting, maybe with your extended family. And as you see harmony increase, then you can start to cultivate more within your community. Greatest teacher during this practice is Mother Nature. Get down on your hands and knees and look at the microorganisms that are growing. Look at the networks of trees. Look at the networks of mushrooms. Look at the networks of grasses and insects and see what they're doing. Check it out. Learn from what Mother Nature teaches us. It's not rocket science. It's all right before our own eyes. So what we're going to do is we are going to sign out with a little Tara. Tara is known in Buddhist texts, Hindu texts, as the miracle creator. So I would like to welcome each and every one of you that have taken this moment in space to connect with the energy of the Cosmic Mother, connect with the energy of someone that wants to bestow gifts on you, and ask them to be brought into your community. Ask for them to be brought to you in your home. Ask for these alignments with yourself and with others so you can start to feel the tapestry of the universe. Until next time, this is She signing out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, and a namaste.